Let's all stand for the reading of God's holy word. As I, by the grace of God Almighty, who's in heaven and who is here, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, during this holy week, we are preaching a holy week series of messages, but we always keep Wednesdays set aside for a sermon, a message on prayer, which is always fitting for Christians and for the world. Rejoice, pray, give thanks, repeat. Part 12, Praying Through the Bible, number 347. And we're going to move on down from the three verses that, by the grace of God, I have preached on over the past 10 or so weeks, to verse 19. Quench not the Spirit. Verse 20. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for the season of prayer that we enjoyed this past morning, and some unfortunately endured. And so, Holy Father God, we come before your throne of grace again, for you have made it clear to us you want us to pray without ceasing. We cannot do anything worthwhile without your might, without your power. And so, Lord, help us not to quench your Holy Spirit through sin, through bad attitudes, through a lack of excellence in doing what we do in these services, harboring sin, not truly confessing sin, not truly repenting of sin. Forgive us of our sins, as we from our hearts, by your grace, forgive those who have sinned against us. Crush and crucify our flesh, and help us not to quench your Spirit. Empty us of ourselves. Fill us, Lord, with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Give us clear minds, clean hearts, clean hands, and clear eyes. Wash and cleanse our souls and spirits by your grace through the precious blood of Christ, and make us whiter than snow on the inside. And Lord, every Christian ought to have a clear conscience before you and before man, and we pray that you'll help us to do that and to make sure we do. Lord, we know that the devil is busy even during Holy Week, and we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would rebuke that enemy of yours and ours, the devil and the demons of hell. Cast out those who are secretly carrying the devil's spirit inside of them. They cannot stand for your holy gospel and your holy work to go forward, and they cannot stand for their fellow sinful human beings to serve you with all of their might. And they do everything they can to try to hinder your work. And we pray, and your servants, even in the very family of that servant. And so, Lord, we pray that you'd block the devil, stop him from hindering your gospel and your holy word from going forward. Demonstrate the power of your Holy Spirit. For as you have made it clear to us, in which you have made my life's verse for many, many years now, going back nearly 40 years, it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Save those who are lost, revive those who are saved. Encourage saints to not quit, to not give up, but to pray without ceasing, to not faint, but to pray always. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in a series of messages titled Praying Through the Bible, a series on every passage and verse regarding prayer in the Bible. And we do this by the grace of God every Wednesday. And we've done it now for many years. We do believe that prayer meetings ought to be about prayer and hearing about prayer. And I am told many pastors and many churches and many people have been impacted by this series and the symbol of us doing this every Wednesday. And we thank God for that. More people are going back to prayer meeting on Wednesday night than ever before. Some churches are packing out now, whereas before that was not the case. And we thank God for what he has done, and he gets all of the glory, praise, and honor. The purpose of this series is to encourage you and to challenge you, to exhort you, and yes, if you will, to motivate you to pray to the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in faith believing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have highlighted each of these over 500 verses and passages in the Prayer Motivator Devotional Bible. So far, we have completed 346 messages in this series. This is message number 347, simply titled and wonderfully titled, Rejoice, Pray, Give Thanks. And then repeat part 12. And all Christians ought to want to do that. Dr. John Walvoord said, it may be concluded that quenching the Holy Spirit is to suppress, stifle, or otherwise obstruct the ministry of the Holy Spirit to the individual or a group of people. In a word, it is saying no and replacing the will of the Holy Spirit with the will of an individual. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, this has happened in so many churches, so many families, so many ministries, so many churches and families and ministries are held hostage just by one devilish person quenching the spirit. And some Christians are so ignorant that they allow one devilish person to influence them and color their minds and make them act like the devil, like they are. It's amazing. It's amazing how this peer pressure works, particularly demonic peer pressure. In the church, in ministry groups, mission agencies, you get one bad apple in there, one devil, one person determined to quench the spirit, and little saved Christians follow right along and develop a rebellious, stubborn, unbiblical, ungodly attitude and spirit, not only in the church, but in the family, in mission agencies, in ministries. And the work is stifled and stopped and plugged up. The man of God over the ministry, or the woman of God over the ministry, whatever comes in, and everybody looks like they placed the head of a devil on their heads, instead of them looking happy and cheerful and joyful, serving as they were before. One devilish person who has a nasty demonic attitude quenching the spirit, they join that person. It's just amazing how that happens, instead of the other 18 Christian people who are saved and love the ministry and love the work and love the person over the ministry, influencing that devil or casting that devil out. It's amazing. He goes on to say, this in brief is the whole issue of morality, whether man will accomplish what he wants to do, or whether his life is surrendered and yielded to the will of God. Quench not the spirit. And so today, ladies and gentlemen, we will continue looking at the series of concise yet significant statements which close out Paul's letter to the believers at Thessalonica, as they show us some of the things that prayer helps us do and maintain in our walk with Christ. Not only prayer, but rejoicing always, thanking God and being grateful in our hearts and spirits always for everything, the good and the bad. And you'll find out after a while, if you're truly born again, that if you're truly saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to end up thanking God for all of the things you thought were bad in your life. Your mean and father you thought, who would not let you have your way. The whippings you got, you're going to be thankful for those things in the future if you're truly born again. The things that you thought you should have gotten and you didn't, you'll be thankful that you didn't get them in years ahead. You ought to be grateful about everything, the good and the bad. That's in your mind bad, but it's always good for you if it's coming from God. In verse 19, we have the command, quench not the spirit. The spirit is, of course, the Holy Spirit. Are you quenching the spirit today by being disobedient when you have been told what to do and you know what you should do and you disobey anyway? You're quenching the spirit, and therefore you lose privileges. And many Christians still don't understand that when you're disobedient to God and you're disobedient to the authority that God has placed over you, be it a husband, be it a parent, be it a boss, be it a military officer, you lose privileges and opportunities and blessings. The key, my dear friend, to privileges and favor and blessings is obedience, not just prayer. obedience. Humble yourself down and obey. Well, I don't understand. You don't have to understand, man. Just obey. Woman, just obey. Humble yourself down. Quench not the spirit with your nasty attitude from hell. And some of you, even if you were lost, you cannot be that mad all of the time. Can somebody say amen? You can't, even if you're lost and on your way to hell, it's impossible. You are choosing to be mad as hell because you think it's impacting somebody, and it's not. But you, nobody but you. Grieving the Holy Spirit, quenching the Holy Spirit with a bad attitude. You still don't believe that your attitude determines your altitude, man. That's how you go. I know of somebody who's on the threshold of going into a great opportunity, and he's only getting it because he has displayed, or shown at least through texts and otherwise, a good attitude. He doesn't deserve the opportunity, but because he displayed a good attitude about things. Anybody, you ask anybody, any leader, anybody in charge of something, they would rather have a person with a good attitude and less ability than a person with a bad attitude and great ability, any day, all day. Because attitude determines your altitude and the altitude of the company you're working for or the ministry that you're in. And bad attitudes quench the spirit. Sin quenches the spirit. Disobedience quenches the spirit. You don't want people around you who quench the spirit. You want to get rid of those folks very fast. The Greek word translated as quench means to extinguish. My God, help us. So many churches have allowed devilish people, pharaohistically proud people. So many families have allowed pharaohistically proud, rebellious, stubborn, witchcraft people to quench the spirit when others were enjoying the spirit, needing the spirit, wanting the spirit, were being blessed by the spirit. But they succumbed to the demonic peer pressure of that one evil person, and the spirit has been quenched in so many people's lives, in so many families, in so many churches, in so many organizations, so many para-church ministries. You hate to even go to the place now because the spirit has been quenched. It means to extinguish, to suppress, or to stifle. My God, help us. I can stop right there. Or as the old preachers used to say, I could stay there a while. Because that's what's wrong in the lives of so many Christians. That's why we have so many so-called believers in Christ, so-called church folks, so-called Christians, who are contemplating committing suicide. They have quenched the spirit in their own lives through sin, through having boyfriends they know they should not have up in their bedroom, girlfriends up in their bedroom. I don't care who you are. Some of you are quenching the spirit because now you're dabbling into homosexuality and lesbianism, kissing on people that you ought not to be kissing on, hugging on people that you ought not to be hugging on, and you know you're wrong. You already sense the grieving of the Holy Spirit. Now you're quenching the spirit, and you wonder why your joy is gone. You wonder why all of your hope is gone, because you have allowed yourself to, in your mind, become addicted to sin and evil. That's what the psychologists call it. But ain't nobody addicted to nothing. We choose to do it every time. But we love to use those words that psychologists have created. They're not in the Bible. The word addiction is not in the Bible. You choose to sin. You choose to evil, to do evil. And you just don't understand that once you touch sin and you get off into it, you want more of it. That's just the nature of the beast on the inside of you. And you stifle the spirit. You quench the spirit. You grieve the spirit away with your evil ways, your nasty ways, your ungodly ways, your ugly ways. And you know God does not like ugly now. He just doesn't. Regarding this command, not suggestion, command, and Dr. Warren Wiersbe said, in using the word quench, Paul pictured the Spirit of God as fire. Fire speaks of purity, power, light, warmth, and if necessary, destruction. By the way, now we have people saying they saw Jesus in the fire of the Notre Dame Cathedral. One person in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, said he saw an angry cat in the fire. So what? If you saw Jesus, if you will, like he got angry and cleansed the temple and started whipping behinds. I preached several years ago to this week, the day that Jesus whipped some cans. See, my grandmother was so holy, she wouldn't say anything else when it was time to whip behinds in the yard. She would say, come over here so I can whip your can, boy. Talking about your behind. She didn't even want to say behind. Could it be that the Lord is angry? The Lord is upset? That people can stand outside of an old building and cry and weep and sing hymns who would not even come to the building on Sunday morning to weep and cry over their sins? And sang hymns inside the church. Now thousands are gathering because a building is burning. And they're weeping and crying. And they would not weep and cry over the sins of the church. And they would not weep and cry over the priests and the pastors and the preachers who are raping the nuns and the children in the church. So if you did see Jesus, he was probably allowing it to be burned down. Because of the wickedness in the church universal. And I don't care if you like it or not. God is not pleased. I told you that yesterday. He's not pleased with what we're doing in the church and in his name. So that's free. Moving right along, when the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives and churches, we have a warmth of love in our hearts, do we not? A burning in the soul, light for our minds, and not only our minds, our eyes. There's something different about the eyes of a person who is filled with the Holy Spirit of God, dear friend. Some of you don't know anything about that, but it's true. I can't tell you how it works, but it's true. There's something different about the person, the Christian, and his eyes if they are living a godly and holy and clean life and they're filled with the Holy Spirit of God and they're not quenching the Spirit. Light for our minds and energy for our wills. He melts us together so that there is harmony in cooperation, and he purifies us so that we put away sin. Have you put away your sin yet? Have you been convicted about your sin? And if you have not been convicted about your sin, then maybe you're not born again, because all saved people are convicted about their sin. And it's not just a conscience thing. The Holy Spirit's conviction is far more powerful than your conscience bothering you. Thank God for our consciences. Our consciences have kept back a whole lot of evil in this world. But when the Holy Spirit of God convicts you, it's something real. It's more powerful than that. The fire of the Spirit must not go out on the altar of our hearts. We must maintain that devotion to Christ that motivates and energizes our lives. End of quote. Amen, somebody. And so, beloved, as you can see, not quenching the Spirit is a very important imperative. A very important thing, Danae. It is only by the Spirit of God that we can live the Christian life. And there are two reasons why we ought not to quench the Spirit when it comes to our prayer life. First, ladies and gentlemen, we ought not to quench the Spirit because the Holy Spirit helps us to pray. If you have been praying long, you will have experienced a time when you felt weak or ineffective in prayer, or you didn't even feel like praying. It is at these times that the Holy Spirit of God comes alongside us and helps us to pray. Romans 8:26 says, "The Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." My God, help us indeed. When all you can do is groan in your heart, when you don't even feel like praying to God, the Holy Spirit helps you communicate with God the Father, who in your weakness hears even your groanings in prayer. Have you ever been there? When you felt so weak, so beat down by the devil and others, so betrayed and so forsaken that you didn't even feel like uttering the words. And isn't it a strange thing sometimes when you're praying, which you would think would be easy, is very hard, very hard. The words seem like they take a long time to come out of your mouth. It's very difficult. And I know we have these sweet, happy Christians who everything just comes easy to them. Those same people may not even be born again. I don't know people like that. I don't know Christians who have it like that. It's not always easy and sweet and wonderful and dandy. It's just not. Just tell the truth and shame the devil. And these people cannot be saved, who always talk about how wonderful and easy it comes to them and this, that. And they have no tribulation. They don't have temptations. They don't have any trouble. Get away from me with these lies. Yes, we got Christians in the church today who will look you straight in your eyes. Oh, no, I'm not tempted. I have not been tempted in weeks. Are you a liar to hell? Or you're not born again? True Christians have to pray. Amen, somebody. Truly born again ones have to pray. We have to pray to do the right thing. Lord, deliver me from evil. Lead me not into temptation. True born-again Christians have to pray. These little happy Christians who say they're never tempted, they're never troubled, they're never faced with trials and tribulations. You know, they are part of the prosperity gospel people. Everything goes well for them all of the time. They're the head and not the tail, and they're a lie. Or they have never been born again. The second reason why we ought not to quench the spirit is because we ought to be praying in the Holy Spirit and praying without ceasing. Ephesians 6:18 says we are to pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. When we pray in the Spirit, we are allowing, if you will, the Holy Spirit guide and direct our requests and our prayers. And we're praying in His power. The opposite of praying in the Spirit is praying in the flesh. However, when we pray in the flesh, we often end up trying to force things along by using many words, repetitive phrasing, and lengthy prayers. Praying longer than Jesus prayed, by the way. However, praying in the Spirit is quite different. This is how Martin Lloyd-Jones describes it. He said, "You are aware of a communion, a sharing, a give and take, if I may use such an expression. You are not dragging yourself along. You are not forcing the situation. You are not trying to make conversation with somebody whom you do not know, which we all know is very uncomfortable and weird. No, no. The spirit of adoption in you brings you right into the presence of God, and it is a living act of fellowship, and communion is real, vibrant with life. There's no quenching of the Holy Spirit here. It is an allowing of the Holy Spirit to fill us and to empower us, for we understand that when God said, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord, he was referring to even praying as well. He also said, that is, Dr. Jones, the quickest way to quench the spirit is to not obey an impulse to pray, my God, help us all. How many times have you quenched the Spirit when the Spirit said you need to pray right now? I'm only talking to born-again ones right now because they're the only one who will know about that. How many times you've been prompted by the Holy Spirit of God to pray and you refused to pray? I'm talking about when you were driving down the road. When you were getting ready to do something important. When you're getting ready to eat your favorite meal, when you're getting ready to meet somebody, the Holy Spirit told you to pray and you refuse. That's quenching the Spirit for real. Right from the get-go, as my mother used to say. So let's not quench the Spirit in our Christian walk, dear friend. We need the Holy Spirit to help us to pray, and we need to pray in the Spirit each and every day. Andrew Reed said, Spirit Divine, attend our prayer and make our heart thy home. Descend with all thy gracious power. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come as the light to us reveal the truth we long to know. Reveal the narrow path of right, the way of duty show. Come as the fire and purge our hearts like sacrificial flame, till our whole souls an offering be in love's redeeming name. Spirit Divine, attend our prayer. Make a lost world thy home. Descend with all thy gracious powers. O come, great Spirit, come. Let's all stand for prayer. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy and grace upon those of us who are Christians, and forgive us of our sin of quenching your Holy Spirit. Help us to never do it again. Fill us with the power, the unction, and the anointing of your Holy Spirit, to pray and to read your Holy Word and to obey your Holy Word and to worship you and to do everything we do for your glory, praise, and honor. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you are with us today and you have never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your first prayer needs to be what we call the sinner's prayer. First, please understand that you are a sinner, just as I am, and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all have failed God, from the Pope on down, from the folks at the Notre Dame Church on down, everybody, all of the priests, all of the preachers. We all have sinned against God in our lives before we met the Lord, and even since we met the Lord, unfortunately and sadly. We all are sinners by nature and by choice. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. There is a punishment for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die physically because of our sins. We die spiritually because of our sins. Our body goes to the grave, our soul goes to hell if we never trust Christ as Savior. If we trust Christ as Savior, we go to heaven. Everybody believes that heaven is true. I don't have to prove that or even try to. Most people don't believe that there's a hell, or many people don't. But Jesus did. He preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than any prophet in the Bible, or any preacher, most preachers today, rather. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is a very real place. It's called elsewhere the lake of fire. And millions are going there because they have rejected Christ. They have not trusted Christ as Savior. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who has taken away the sins of the world. And since he's taken away the sins of the world, there's no punishment. All you got to do is believe in him. He has paid your sin debt. You have no debt owed to God if you trust Christ as Savior, because he paid your sin debt. All you have to do is believe on him. Trust in him as your Savior. So hell in the lake of fire is bad news. But I have good news for you. Jesus Christ said it in John 3:16 when he was here. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever," that word whosoever means anybody at any time, "believeth in him should not perish," that includes us, "should not perish in hell, but have everlasting life in heaven with God." So all you have to do to be saved is just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he paid your sin debt. He took away your sins. He suffered and he bled and he died and went through hell for you and for me. He died, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your life, into your heart, to save your soul, and he will save you. You don't have to join a church to be saved. You don't have to be in a church to be saved. I got saved in an Air Force dorm room. You don't have to give any money to the church to be saved. You don't have to shake the preacher's hand. The preacher does not have to touch you. to be saved. Just trust in Christ. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. Because God and Jesus want to spend time with you. I know I don't understand it, but I thank God for it. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart that he suffered and he bled and he died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again. And pray and ask him to save you. And I'll be glad to lead you in what is called the sinner's prayer, or the plan of the salvation prayer, the prayer of salvation. Follow me in prayer. Repeat after me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments through taking your holy name in vain, dishonoring and disobeying my parents, stealing, lying, lusting after people and things in my heart, and many other sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my wretched soul, and forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to turn from my evil ways and to follow you for the remainder of my life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. Congratulations on trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have done the most important thing in life. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.